To understand why, it is useful to consider a weaker case for such indices. Not that they foretell the future, but that they can reveal the present. An article in 1994 in the American Economic Review found that data on consumer confidence significantly improved forecasts of consumption growth when it was the sole explanatory factor. The problem is that when other variables such as incomes or employment were known, confidence data contributed little to the forecasts. On an intellectual level, that is a damning assessment of the role of sentiment, showing that feelings by themselves have little bearing on the economy. But it indicates that surveys may have some use. Sentiment reflects what people personally know about their incomes and their jobs, and it is these variables that ultimately influence their spending. Sentiment gauges are especially prized given the time lag in economic data. The University of Michigan, for instance, published its preliminary consumer sentiment index for April on the 14th. The Bureau of Economic Analysis will not publish data on personal incomes for April until May the 26th. But even in such instances, their usefulness can easily be overstated. Monthly variations in sentiment surveys tend to be minor and volatile, much like the variations in spending patterns that they foreshadow. A paper by the European Central Bank in 2011 found that sentiment indices were most useful in periods of upheaval. The bottom fell out of consumer surveys, for example, towards the start of the global financial crisis of 2007-09. Likewise, John Lear of Morning Consult notes that his company's consumer index turned sharply negative in late February 2020, a month before the COVID-induced downturn. Yet, in truth, sentiment was far from the only sign that the economy was in trouble. A sharp sell-off in the stock market occurred at the same time, reflecting the barrage of bad news about the pandemic. Consumer surveys added to the picture of economic malaise. They hardly conjured it out of thin air. Arguably, the biggest virtue of sentiment surveys is simply that so many in the market monitor them. And it is not just investors. When the Fed raised interest rates by a whopping 0.75 percentage point last June, its first of four increases of that size, Jerome Powell, the central bank's chairman, said that one factor was a jump in inflation expectations in the University of Michigan Consumer Survey. Duly informed, investors paid extra heed to the Michigan inflation reading for the next few months. Could the downbeat sentiment indices of the past year eventually look prescient? There is, beyond consumer surveys, plenty of reason to think that an American recession may be in the offing at last. Fallout from banking sector turmoil and the ongoing debt ceiling debacle come just as the labor market is starting to cool. But, as Zachary Carabel wrote in a book about leading indicators in 2014, the conclusion is a more frustrating one. Sentiment gauges are right just often enough to make them compelling and wrong far too frequently to make them reliable. You do not want to look at them too closely, even if you cannot make yourself look away.